Nehemiah 13:27, shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives, foreign women? You may be seated. I am postponing my series on biblical history and return to it shortly. I think I'll have two separate ones and go back to biblical history. The reason I'm doing this is because of the unusual presidential election we are having here in the United States. I believe it is necessary to make my comments on what is happening now to help us see what could happen in the near future. I think this is biblical in what a church should do. We have the criminal elements of the Bush-Clinton families, which want to continue in their practice of rape, sexual assaults, bullying, murder, false accusing, drug smuggling, unnecessary wars, and lying, among other illegal and unlawful things, to eventually create a one world order. They will do almost anything, and since they have the backing of the media owners, they can get out of almost everything that they have done in the past. The crime family supported Donald Trump in the primaries as they figured him to be the easiest man for Hillary to beat in an election. Once they were running against him, they knew that they had the tapes of his sexual encounters that they could use against him at any time. And they chose a very good time to use them. And because of these tapes and other reasons, many of the leaders of his own party will not endorse or support him. Presidents Bush, the two Bushes, are voting for Clinton, for example. Our country's in a very bad, polarizing situation. Who is running our country? Let's have a quiz. Name a Catholic university or college that is located in our area. In Northern Kentucky, it is? Thomas More. And Cincinnati? Xavier. Well, you know the names of the two. You know the name of the two colleges. Does anyone know who Thomas More or Xavier were, besides being obviously Catholics? Most Americans probably have never even thought about it. I didn't. They are just the names of the schools, but why were these men chosen to be the namesakes of these respective schools? Thomas More College is located in Crestview Hills, Kentucky. It's only about, 5 miles from here. But it originally started with a different name and was in a different location. It was called Villa Madonna College. I remember that college. I didn't know what happened to it. And it was located in Covington, Kentucky. It started in 1921. When it moved to Crestview Hills in 1968, well, I was out of the region in 68. I didn't know about this. It also changed its name to Thomas More College. At the dedication service in the fall of that year, President Lyndon Johnson was in attendance. There are 1,900 full and part-time students at Thomas More College today. Xavier University was started in 1831 in downtown Cincinnati. It was adjacent to St. Francis Xavier Church on Sycamore Street. It was called the Athenaeum. In 1840, the Society of Jesus, which is the Jesuits, took control of the Athenaeum and changed its name to St. Xavier College in honor of the 16th century Jesuit missionary, St. Francis Xavier. Xavier, who, like the founder of the Jesuits, Ignatius Loyola, was a Spanish Basque. It's a region in northern Spain. St. Xavier College moved in 1912 to its current North Avondale location, about 5 miles north of downtown Cincinnati. Its name once again changed, this time in 1830 to just Xavier University. Xavier has almost 4,500 undergraduate students, while it has about half that number of postgraduates. Now, I'm going to show you the seal of St. Xavier. Here's the seal, 1831, those can read Roman numerals. Look what's at the top. The letters are what? IHS, and it's got the sun rays. What is that? I remember being a 10-year-old boy asking what that symbol meant as it was on one of the aprons that covered one of our pulpits in church. We had two pulpits and an apron. That was one of the aprons. I said, what does IHS mean? Well, I was attending and later became a member of this American Baptist Church, which was the church where my parents were members. I have since found it was a Freemasonic church because it had Masons in it. Well, no one seemed to know the correct answer. I was told by one member of the church that it could mean in his service, IHS. By another, it could mean in his suffering, IHS. And another member told me it was the first three letters, iota, eta, sigma, of the name Jesus in the Greek alphabet. But now I know that the Order of Jesuits, the Society of Jesus, adopted IHS as its fixed emblem in the 17th century. There are several possible meanings that the Society gives publicly. You see the leaked emails, Hillary said there's a public meaning. The Freemasons have the same thing. There's a public thing we say and a private thing. It meant the humble society of Jesus, Jesus, Savior of men, in this sign you will win, so forth. They give three possible meanings to that symbol. And according to a legend, this inscription with the cross, the IHS with the cross, was seen by Emperor Constantine the Great in his sleep before the battle against Maxentius in 312 AD on Ponte Mavetto. This changed the course of history as Catholicism became a perverted form of Christianity. It became universal and was accepted as a way of worship. I do not believe the public explanation of ISS by the Jesuits nor the members of my Baptist church. I believe that the interpretation of the abbreviation IHS is derived from the solar idols of Egypt. I for Isis, H for Horus, and S for Seth, the first letter designating each alien god. Now we're going to get the coat of arms of Pope Francis. The sun has how many rays? Well, if you count them, how many rays do you think it has? 32. Yeah, 32 rays. And then we got the emblem. The design of this emblem is attributed to who? Ignatius of Loyola, 1541, the founder of the Society of the Jesuits, or the Society of Jesus, or the Jesuits. The number of rays is 32. And you have the IHS, and you got three nails here, and a big nail that splits that. And you got this at both ends. I thought five nails, which is a funny nail here. Next one. This is a picture of a statue. It's not real clear. But the big fellow is Ignatius Loyola, the co-founder of the Jesuits. And in this statue, Loyola can be sold holding the Jesuit Constitution. But he's trampling underfoot somebody. Who do you think that person is? He's a Christian with a Bible. And there's also, it's hard to see, but there's a serpent with the Christian. See, everything's turned upside down. Just what is the Society of Jesus? The Society of Jesus is a male religious congregation of the Catholic Church, the members are called Jesuits. Not all Catholics are Jesuit by long means. The society is engaged in evangelization and apostolic ministry in how many countries? 112 nations on six continents. That about covers most of them. Jesuits work in education, founding schools, colleges, universities, and seminaries, intellectual research, and cultural pursuits. Jesuits also give retreats, minister in hospitals and parishes, and promote social justice and ecumenical dialogue. There are 28 colleges and universities in the United States that are Jesuit schools. I'll give you a name about 12 or 13 of them. Loyola University, of course named after Ignatius Loyola, the founder, Canisius, Georgetown. Well, Georgetown, a lot of bad things come out of Georgetown in Washington, D.C. Boston College, St. Louis University, Marquette University, St. Joseph University, Fordham University, Creighton University, John Carroll University, Gonzaga University, Seattle University, and Xavier University. And there's about twice as many as those that I've just named. There's a picture of Ignatius of Loyola. Ignatius of Loyola founded the society after being wounded in battle. And he then experienced a religious conversion. He composed the spiritual exercises to help others follow the teachings of what he considers as being what Jesus Christ taught. In 1534, Ignatius and six other young men, one being Francis Xavier, gathered and professed vows of 1, poverty, 2, chastity, and 3, later obedience, including a special vow of obedience to the Black Pope in matters of mission, direction, and assignment. Ignatius's plan of the order's organization was approved by Pope Paul III in 1540 by a declaration from the Vatican containing the formula of the Institute. Jesuit Adam Weishaupt, you've heard of him, haven't you? Started the Illuminati on May 1st, 1776. These special Jesuits were excommunicated in 1784 when they were exposed in Bavaria for protocols of Zion. They were put back into good graces of the Catholic Church after Napoleon was defeated in 1814. Here's a picture of the birthplace and sanctuary of St. Ignatius of Loyola in Spain, right there. It's where he was born and where he is buried. Did you catch that? Francis Xavier was one of the original members of the Jesuit Society. One of the original members. The first Jesuits were crypto-Jews. Ignatius Loyola himself was a crypto-Jew of the occult Kabbalah. Loyola's parents were Maranos. And at the time of his birth, the family was very wealthy. Remember, Spain had an Inquisition. If you were Jewish, you either had to leave or be killed. If you stayed, you had to turn Catholic. Well, his family turned Catholic. As a young man, he became a member of the Jewish Illuminati order in Spain. As a cover for the crypto-Jewish activities, he became very active as a Roman Catholic. On May 20, 1521, Ignatius was wounded in a battle and became semi-crippled. As a result, he began to study for the priesthood. In 1539, he had moved to Rome, where he founded the Jesuit order, which was to become the bloodiest and most persecuting order in the Roman Catholic Church. There's no doubt about that. I'm going to read that sentence again. In 1539, he moved to Rome, where he founded the Jesuit order, which was to become the bloodiest and most persecuting order in the Roman Catholic Church. A year later, 1540, the current Pope III approved the order. At Loyola's death in 1556, there were more than 1,000 members of the Jesuit order. There are now almost 25,000 members. Now, I'll name a few of them. Emmanuel D. Lacunza, Rabbi John Zophat Ben Ezra, and Francisco Ribiera were Jewish Jesuits who wrote books which have confused many Protestants. They have caused much confusion in their enemies' camps by teaching them to believe in the rapture, dispensational teachings, and other strange eschatological events. That was all planned by them. Now, here's something. I never heard of the Goa India Inquisition. Anybody hear of the Goa India Inquisition? It was urged by St. Francis Xavier from his headquarters in Malacca on accounts of its rigors reputed to be the worst of the existing inquisitions ever. St. Francis Xavier landed in Goa in India on May 6, 1542. So he was in Rome, he was in England, he was all the place. He was in Spain. He goes to India. He landed in Goa on May 6, 1542, with a resolve of uprooting paganism from the soil of India and planting Catholicism in its place. And so all plans of persecution and oppression of the Hindus came along with Francis Xavier. All religious policies and procedures of forcible and fraudulent conversions and demolitions of the Hindu temples and idols were undertaken under his guidance and missionary zeal. It was St. Francis Xavier who laid the foundation for an organized system of an unholy inquisition against the Hindus in Goa, India. These people come up with, wow, the Inquisition was brutal. It was brutal. We can see what was St. Francis Xavier's first priority in India through his own words. Quote, I want to free the poor Hindus. It sounds like the election. The poor people. For the poor people. I want to free the poor Hindus from the stranglehold of the Brahmins. Now that should ring a bell, who the Brahmins were. And destroy the places where evil spirits are worshipped. The Brahmins are the most perverse people in the world. Is that a flip-flop? They never tell the truth, but think of nothing but how to tell subtle lies and deceive the simple and ignorant people. They are as perverse and wicked a set as can anywhere be found, and to whom applies the psalm, which says, from an unholy race and wicked and crafty men, deliver me, Lord. The poor people do exactly what the Brahmins tell them. If there were no Brahmins in the area, all Hindus would accept conversion to our faith. So they had to kill the Brahmins. St. Francis Xavier wrote a letter to the Society of Jesus in which he said, quote, following the baptisms, the new Christians return to their homes and come back with their wives and families to be in their turn also prepared for baptism. After all have been baptized, I order that everywhere the temples of the false gods be pulled down, and idols broken. I know not how to describe in words the joy that I feel before the spectacle of pulling down and destroying the idols by the very people who formerly worshipped them. Got another picture of the Inquisition. There's a circle, there's man's there, there's a fire going on here. These guys are looking on. Man, it was brutal. They tortured these people. Here's a picture of the casket of Francis St. Xavier in the Basilica of Bon Jesus in Goa, India. There's a picture of his casket. That's It's a little more elaborate casket than I will have. Jesuits are sometimes referred to chronologically as God's soldiers, which evolved from references to Ignatius' history as a soldier and the society's commitment to accepting orders anywhere and to endure any conditions. The society participated in the Counter-Reformation and later in the implementation of the Second Vatican Council. The Jesuits participated in the Counter-Reformation? They first fought against the Muslims and the Hindus, but then turned their attention on the newly formed Protestants. The Jesuits took their oath to defend and to propagate the Roman Catholic Church. Listen to how horrific a vow this is. Every Jesuit makes this vow. Here I call it the extreme oath of the Jesuits. So if you want to be a Jesuit, here's the vow that you make. Everyone's made this vow. I'm telling you, these guys are something. I, and you give your name, now in the presence of Almighty God, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Blessed Michael the Archangel, the Blessed Saint John the Baptist, the Holy Apostle Saint Peter and Saint Paul and all the saints and sacred host of heaven, and to you, my ghostly father, the Superior General of the Society of Jesus. That's the Black Pope. It's called the Superior General of the Society of Jesus. Founded by Saint Ignatius Loyola in the pontificate of Paul III, that was the Pope at the time, and continued to the present, do by the womb of the Virgin, the matrix of God, and the rod of Jesus Christ, declare and swear that His Holiness the Pope is Christ's vice regent and is the true and only head of the Catholic Church or universal church throughout the earth. And that by virtue of the keys of binding and loosing, given to His Holiness by my Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the words He spoke to Peter, who became the first pope, is what they say. He has power to dispose heretical kings, anybody who's not a Catholic, princes, states, commonwealths, and governments, all being illegal without His, that's the Pope's, sacred confirmation, and that they may safely be destroyed. It goes on. That's just the first part. I furthermore promise and declare that I will, when opportunity presents, make and wage relentless war, secretly or openly, against all heretics, Protestants, and liberals, as I am directed to do, to extirpate and eliminate them from the face of the whole earth. And that I will spare neither age, doesn't matter how young or old they are, sex, men or women, or condition. And that I will hang, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury alive these infamous heretics, rip up the stomachs and wombs of their women, and crush their infants' heads against the walls in order to annihilate forever their execrable race. That when the same cannot be done openly, I will secretly use the poison cup, the strangulation cord, the steel of the poniard, or the leaden bullet, regardless of the honor, rank, dignity, or authority of the person or persons, whatever may be their condition in life, either public or private, and at any time may be directed so to do by any agent of the Pope or superior of the Brotherhood of the Holy Faith of the Society of Jesus. If I'm ordered to kill any heretic, Protestant or liberal, I do it, secretly or openly. That's not all. It goes on. In confirmation of which, I hereby dedicate my life, my soul, and all my corporate powers. And with this dagger which I now receive, I will subscribe my name written in my own blood in testimony thereof. And should I prove false or weaken in my determination. So if you're ordered to kill somebody, you don't do it. May my brethren and fellow soldiers of the militia of the Pope cut off my hands and my feet and my throat from ear to ear, my belly opened and sulfur burned therein, with all the punishment that can be inflicted upon me on earth, and my soul be tortured by demons and an eternal hell forever. What an oath. Woo. The United States was started as a Protestant nation. It had suffered much under the rule of the Roman Catholics in Europe. Many had been murdered, imprisoned, and eventually chased into the New World for the purpose of establishing a nation that was free from papal rule. This oath is a war against all heretics of the Catholic faith, including the Protestants. This means outright war against our nation. Pilgrims, Puritans, Lutherans, Presbyterians, Baptists, Congregationalists, and so forth, who were the freedom-seeking Protestants who came to this land looking for religious freedom. Not religious tolerance for all faith, like it's taught now, but freedom from different Protestant beliefs. The Catholic and Jews were not tolerated in the early days of this nation. The Catholic and Jews were not tolerated in the early days of this nation. When the Superior General of the Society, the Black Pope, I saw this on YouTube. It's amazing. It's about a 7-minute tape. The lady had she was going to read the Black Pope the part about where they're going to kill all the Protestants. She's going to read that part to him. So what? She was very nice. She's saying, "Have you ever seen this before? What does this mean?" That's the oath that he took. So when the Superior General Society, the Black Pope, she came up and he gave a sermon, and afterwards he greeted all the people. So she waited in line. She came up. And she read part of this oath, and she was a lay citizen, which describes what they would do to any Protestant. He denied ever hearing it. He says, "What is this?" And the lady that was next to the Black Pope says, "Move on, move on." And she was quickly escorted away from the Black Pope. Man. Now, Sir Thomas More. We saw what a fine citizen Francis Xavier was. Let's look at Sir Thomas More. Catholics revere St. Thomas More, who died 5 years before the Jesuits began, as a martyr because he was beheaded for refusing to say that the authority of King Henry VIII superseded that of the Pope. That Henry VIII was the person who was going to divorce his wife. Even in secular and humanist circles, More is often given a measure of respect, partly for his collaboration with the Dutch humanist Desiris Ermes, and partly because of how More is famously portrayed in the Oscar-winning movie A Man for All Seasons. And then we got a picture of Thomas More. Here he is. Sir Thomas More was also a man who so abhorred Martin Luther's Protestant Reformation that he burned Lutherans at the stake with great relish. Man, if I was a Lutheran, I'd be upset at Sir Thomas More. One of More's motives for hating Protestant heretics was that they dared to read the New Testament in English rather than Latin, which was against the law in England at that time. Thomas More also spent time burning the writings and holy scriptures of William Tyndale, as well as hunting after him for the purpose of killing him. One year after More died, Tyndale was captured and put in prison for about a year and a half before he was strangled to death immediately prior to having his body burned to a crisp. The historian and religious scholar James Wood reminds us that Thomas More, far from being the consummate man of conscience, was the heretic hunter of the mid-1520s, who personally broke into Lutherans' homes and sent men to the stake, and who would punish religious dissent not only with displeasant words, but with state violence. In other words, he'd burn them. And when Thomas More learned that John Tewkesbury, a London leather seller, secretly possessed banned books, he had the man burned alive. Thomas More served as an important counselor to King Henry VIII of England, serving as his key counselor in the early 1500s. But after he refused to accept the king as head of the Church of England, he was tried for treason and beheaded. He died in London, England in 1535. More is noted for coining the word utopia. He wrote a book called Utopia in reference to an ideal political system in which policies are governed by reason. He was canonized by the Catholic Church as a saint in 1935. And has been commemorated by the Church of England as a Reformation martyr. Since the official founding of the Jesuits in 1540, there have been a total of 46 white popes and only 30 black popes. He is called the Black Pope because he wears a black robe. And I got a picture of both of them together. See, that's the Black Pope, and this is the white pope. Catholics were discouraged from coming to the New World to live until 1870. All that changed after the fall of the Papal States and the liberation of Rome. This was one of the most earth-shattering events since the Blessed Reformation of 1517. The immigration floodgates opened up. The Jesuit order played an important role in the Counter-Reformation and eventually succeeded in converting millions around the world to Catholicism. The Jesuit movement first made plans to work for the conversion of Muslims. If travel to the Holy Land was not possible, they vowed to offer themselves to the Pope for apostolic work. Unable to travel to Jerusalem because of the Turkish wars, they went to Rome instead to meet with the Pope and request permission to form a new religious order. In September 1540, Pope Paul III approved Ignatius' outline of the Society of Jesus, and the Jesuit order was born. Under Ignatius' charismatic leadership, the Society of Jesus grew quickly. Jesuit missionaries played a leading role in the Counter-Reformation and won back many of the European faithful who had been lost to Protestantism. In Ignatius' lifetime, Jesuits were also dispatched to India. We know Francis Xavier went there. Brazil, the Congo region, Ethiopia. Education was of utmost importance to the Jesuits. And in Rome, Ignatius founded the Roman College and the Germanicum, a school for German priests. The Jesuits also ran several charitable organizations, such as one for former prostitutes and one for converted Jews. When Ignatius de Loyola died in July 1556, there were more than 1,000 Jesuit priests, and there's now about 25,000. During the next century, the Jesuits set up set up global ministries. The Black Robes, as they were known in Native America, often preceded other Europeans in their infiltration of foreign land and societies. They infiltrated foreign land and societies. The life of a Jesuit was one of immense risk, and thousands of priests were persecuted or killed by foreign authorities hostile to their mission of conversion. However, in some nations, such as India and China, the Jesuits were welcomed as men of wisdom and science. With the rise of nationalism in the 18th century, most European countries suppressed the Jesuits. And in 1773, Pope Clement XIV dissolved the order under pressure from Bourbon monarchs. See, they found the order, the Protocols of Zion. However, in 1814, Pope Pius VII gave in to popular demand and reestablished the Jesuits as an order, and they continue their missionary work to this day. Ignatius de Loyola was canonized a Catholic saint in 1622. So we see that many Jesuit colleges and universities are named after members who faithfully adhered to the oath that they took. They were truly soldiers of the Pope, and they wanted the world, the entire world, to become Roman Catholic. One world religion. The church also canonized their names and made them saints. Loyola, Xavier, and more were Jewish Catholics who slaughtered many of our relatives in the Counter-Reformation. In February of 2013, the White Pope resigned and flew off in a helicopter. An illegal Pope then was picked by the Cardinals, a communist Jesuit Pope. He is a black-white Pope. The general of the Jesuits has become the headman of the Catholic Church. In other words, he's a dictator, a man who wants to rule the world. All that to talk about the strange election we're having. And what about this very strange election in the United States? We have Clinton and her vice president, Tim Kaine, against Trump and against his vice president, Pence. Kaine, pronounced the same as Cain, the first murderer in the Bible, who is the vice presidential candidate with Hillary Clinton, is a proud Jesuit-trained Catholic. He said that in the debate with William Pence. I am a proud Jesuit Catholic. I was raised in a Jesuit high school, and he went on and told her about all his Jesuit doings. He went to a Jesuit high school. He spent two separate times working with a Jesuit missionary in Honduras, got his bachelor's degree in economics in 3 years at the University of Missouri, and then his law degree at Harvard Law School. Everyone goes to Harvard Law School. He and his wife attend St. Elizabeth Catholic Church in Richmond, Virginia, which has a predominantly African-American black congregation. He co-founded a men's study group there. He was trained by a Jesuit, but he is not actually a Jesuit. He's not one of the 20. He did take the oath. A possible scenario. Hillary wins the election and has to withdraw because of health or is indicted for many of the crimes she has committed in the past and is put in jail. Her vice president, who was not elected as president, would become president of the United States. Then we would have a Jesuit pope in Rome working along with a Jesuit-trained president in the United States. It's unbelievable. In the beginning of our nation, the Catholics and Jews were forbidden to hold any office and were not allowed to vote. The nation was a Protestant nation, and it was a republic. We have come a long, long, long way in the wrong direction. Trump seemed to be very agitated at the last debate. That was the second debate. It seemed to me he was very ticked off. He seemed to sense that he was betrayed and began to let everything loose. He charged former President Bill Clinton with sexually abusing many women and even had four of the women that he had abused sitting there in the front row. One, who he had paid an $850,000 settlement, was Paula Jones. The strange thing was the mainstream press never said anything much about them. I didn't see much about them in the mainstream media. Donald Trump is against the Jesuits' doctrines of borderless nations, abolishing of the family. They're all for transgender and all that stuff. Eradication of organized religion, especially Christianity. He is willing to work with Russian President Vladimir Putin to destroy ISIS and global terrorism. He is an alpha male with a healthy, not excessive, love and respect for women. He is against foreign nations being dependent on the United States of America for all their military, financial, security, and social needs. Then there was Paul Ryan, another devout Catholic. He refused to endorse Trump and even campaigned for him after the tape was released. He disinvited Trump to the rally that they were having that day, but still kept the invitation open to Vice President Pence. They had the sexual tapes of Trump for years, but released it just a month before the election. The same is true with Trump's female accusers. Hillary's leaked emails reveal that the Democratic committee wanted Trump to win the Republican nomination, because they had all the sexual material on him that they could bring out to help Hillary gain her victory. Paul Ryan Joyce is a graduate of what university? Miami University of Oxford, Ohio. I am ashamed. I heard the professor, Bill Cunningham, had one of his professors. He was ashamed of Paul Ryan, too. But Ryan replaced Boehner, who was a graduate of Muller High School in Cincinnati, which is also a Jesuit school. Ryan is obeying the orders of the Jesuits. That's my opinion. I do not have any proof for that. Then last Wednesday, I found in a garbage can in the bathroom at work a copy of 17 pages. It's 17 pages from a book that talks about the general congregation of the Jesuits. What in the world? I said, I've got to read this. I read the whole thing. So I'm going to share a few things I found from this article. I learned that the Jesuits have worldwide meetings. This was the book about the 32nd congregation. Quote, the congregation lasted 96 days, it says on page 294. At the beginning, the members of the congregation, number 236. And on February the 1st, 232. On February the 13th, 239. February 24th, 222. And March 1st, 212. And March 7th, the last day, 205. The people were Jesuits who came from all over the world for this meeting. On page 294, it talks of the distinguishing mark of the society. Quote, not only our community life, but our religious vows are apostolic. Their vows are apostolic. Remember the vows that they took that said that they must destroy all Protestants among other heretics? Quote, another quote from it, if we commit ourselves until death to the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience, it is that we may be totally united to Christ and share His own freedom to be at the service of all who need us. All I can say is, what hogwash is that? Mr. Trump also grew up a Catholic and attended a Jesuit college, Fordham University. He is now a Presbyterian. He came and held a rally in Cincinnati Thursday night, October 13, 2016. It was a complete sellout, over 21,000 people. It was a very enthusiastic rally, unlike any other rally ever held in our area. It was electrifying. Our hope is that God will humble him just like he did with the Apostle Paul. Make him turn 180 degrees and give him the grace to make all of the correct decisions that he will have to make. Spill the beans, Trump. Even your vice presidential candidate was originally a Catholic too. He is now a member of a large megachurch. The Supreme Court has 5 members that are Roman Catholic and 3 members that are Jewish. And some of those Roman Catholics are Jesuits. There's not one Protestant. No wonder they have made so many bad, evil, anti-God decisions. All I can say is, blessed be the Lord God of Israel.